Brethren, it's good to be with you. God bless you today on this Christmas day, Christmas morning. I have been speaking from God's Word for a lot of years, and so there have been a lot of Christmases that have come. What then? I've tried to preach, and I've preached on the wise men and the shepherds and all kinds of topics at Christmas. And this year, as I was thinking about coming here to preach to you and praying about it, I had this idea, and I pray it's from God, because certainly if I'm not up here to try to convey God's message to His people, I'm way off here. So I feel like the Lord has led me in this way. I'm going to try to do something a little different. It's new to me anyway. What I plan to do, brethren, this morning is I have been trying to think of and write down scriptures that, as on Sister Alice's purse, says the reason for all this. The reason you and I are here today, the reason we're here on any Sunday, but the reason we're here in particular today, and to give you just read scriptures that begin to tell the story. And typically what I do and most preachers do, we'll read maybe a verse or a part of a verse or a few verses, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll begin to expound upon those verses. That's the way I try to do it and have for years. But today, what I want to do, brethren, is just start reading you some scriptures that portray why we're here to begin with. And that'll be it'll be explanatory, I think, as I go along. I'm going to try to resist the urge to, when I read a verse, to take off preaching. I'm going to just try to read these scriptures. I know I'm not going to be fully successful, but I know, and probably at the end, I'm going to expound a little bit. But what I'm going to do, brethren, you know, how many times do we hear, as Christmas approaches and during the Christmas season, pastors reminding us and we reminding each other, don't lose sight of the reason. Don't lose sight of it. And so what I want to do today is give me and you, God willing, some insight, some background, and just it's impossible, brethren. The Word of God, of course, is inexhaustible. And there's no way anybody could cover it all. But I've tried to pray, and I've tried to think of scriptures and search out scriptures that will convey the picture from the very beginning through the need for the reconciliation with God, through the actual events of the birth of Christ, and through His life, and through His accomplished work. Now that's a big task, that's a big topic, isn't it, brethren? You can take any one of those and spend the rest of your life preaching on it. So I know I hope I'm not biting off more than I can chew, but I've got scriptures written down here, and some of them I've written out that I'm going to read from this paper. Some of them are lengthy enough I'm going to turn to the Word of God and read it directly from the text. But my prayer is this, brethren, that God by His Spirit will come here and teach us. He's already here because Sister Ellen said the hymns this morning were just wonderful. The Spirit of God has got to bless us. And I always say, you know, I say this when I'm here and wherever I am, just about every sermon I try to begin, I say that Jesus said to the woman, Samaritan woman, God is a spirit. And if we're going to worship Him, the only way to do it is in spirit and in truth. So, brethren, you pray, please, that God's Spirit will direct my words and my thoughts so that God will be communicating to us all and that we'll be worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Here it is, the way I've kind of outlined it, brethren. And I gave each section a little topic. First of all, the problem. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John 1:1. And I'm going to break my rule about not expounding, but just give me a second. Every Christmas, brethren, when I'm trying to preach, I try to remind myself and everybody, Jesus didn't get his start at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis 1:26. So God created man in his own image. Genesis 1:27. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. If he made it, brethren, it had to be very good. Genesis 1:31. Now I remain in Genesis, and I've got a lengthy text, so I go to Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You remember the heading for this section is called The Problem? Listen to this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, from the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. And he said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? So there the problem arose, brethren. Sin entered into the world. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now here's a promise, brethren, along with that problem. God's promise. Listen to this. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And that's talking about Jesus right there, brethren. It shall bruise thy head. Jesus is going to bruise the head, crush the head of the serpent. And thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. That's a picture right there, brethren, of a covering, a clothing. A covering of that sin that Adam and Eve have now committed. And speaking of that sin, listen to this, brethren. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's in Romans 5:12. all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. That section was I called the problem. Here comes more promises, brethren. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Isaiah 7:14. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, or Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. He shall go before him, that's Jesus, shall grow up before the Father, as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Isaiah 53:2. He shall bear their iniquities. You see, that's the promise right there, brethren. That's a wonderful promise right there. That's Isaiah 53:11. He, Jesus, shall bear their, yours and mine, iniquities. Moving on with promises, brethren. Listen to this. Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus' going forth, brethren, have been from of old, from everlasting. He's coming out of Bethlehem. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4:4-5. I go now to Luke, brethren. Chapter 1:26. And in the sixth month, brethren, when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. And the fullness of time has now arrived, and Luke records for us what happened, how it happened. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, just like Isaiah said, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. They were engaged. They were not legally married as yet. They were promised to one another. Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Salutation there just means greeting. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I go now to Matthew's account. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, just like Luke says, just like God says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Back to Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, just like Micah said, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. She was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Prince of Peace has come. No wonder the angel said, peace, goodwill toward men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's John, Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. When he was 12 years old, Jesus tarried at Jerusalem. That's the occasion where Mary and Joseph came to celebrate the feast of the Passover, I believe it was. And they lost Jesus, so to speak. They couldn't find him when they headed back home to Nazareth. And they found him. They went back to look for him. And he said something like, don't you know where to look for me? Don't you know? Why is it a mystery? I must be about my Father's business. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's Luke 2, 52. He's growing up now. He's 12 and he continues to grow and grow up. And as he grows, brethren, and he begins his public ministry, he says this. He makes these statements. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what the angel told Joseph. You name him Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. Jesus would later say, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, Jesus would say, is come to give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. All statements of Jesus telling us about who he is and what he's going to do and why he's come. This section is the purpose and the price. John 10, I go to now. Verse 17. The words of Jesus. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Shortly thereafter, Jesus, hanging on a cross where he'd been nailed, said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. John 19:30. The price. The price was the life of our Lord and Savior. The baby who was born in Bethlehem. No greater love can be displayed than that. No greater price can be paid. Now, brethren, the pardon. The pardon. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said that. Wrote that in Romans 5, chapter 1. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince, brethren, that brought peace between you and God, between me and God. We have peace with God. Paul understood that. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Christ offered himself without spot to God. Hebrews 9:14. Oh, it's hard to resist the urge to start preaching here, brethren. Let me just make 2 points about that little short sentence. Christ offered himself. 3 points. He offered himself. He was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He offered himself. He went to the cross as an offering. Point one. Point two, without spot. No sin. No sin. Third point, to God. He offered himself, brethren, in your behalf to God. Hebrews 9:14. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We read about that at the outset. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Brethren, you and I are made righteous because of the obedience of Christ Jesus, the one who we celebrate this morning. Romans 5:19. I go now to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, one of my favorite verses. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That's not talking about us who knew no sin. It's talking about Jesus. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I go now to the Old Testament, brethren, to Isaiah 53. I hope you're very, very familiar with Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Watch the pronouns, brethren. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He hath made Him to be sin who knew no sin. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people He was stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because there was no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, and He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see God. He shall see the travail of His soul, Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. Brethren, God is now satisfied with you and me, because the chastisement of your peace was upon Him. He's satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Brethren, Christ bore your iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. Last phrase in this last chapter, last verse of Isaiah 53, and made intercession for the transgressors. Brethren, Christ interceded for you and for me. He interceded with God. Hebrews 1:3, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. When Jesus, brethren, by Himself, that means He had no help from any man. He did it by Himself. And He did it through Himself. When He had by Himself purged your sins and mine, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's the one, brethren, that we come to worship today. I've tried to give you some scriptures that describe the problem and God's promise that the problem was going to be solved, the purpose, the price, and just now read to you about the pardon. I want to read a hymn to you that sums up what I tried to read. It's a doctrinal hymn. And the verses that I've read to you, this condenses them even more than I could. Listen to this, brethren. Long ere the sun began his days, or moon shot forth her silver rays, salvation's scheme was fixed. 'Twas done in covenant by the three in one. The Father spoke, the Son replied, the Spirit with them both complied. Grace moved the cause for saving man, and wisdom drew the noble plan. The Father chose His only Son to die for sins that man had done. Emmanuel to the choice agreed, and thus secured a numerous seed. He sends His Spirit from above to call the objects of His love. Not one shall perish or be lost. His blood has bought them dear they cost. Brethren, you're here today because God has sent His Spirit from above to call you the object of His love. Not one of you shall perish or be lost. Christ's blood has bought you dear you cost. You cost Him dearly. What high displays of sovereign grace. What love to save a ruined race. My soul adore His lovely name, by whom thy free salvation came. That writer says, soul adore His lovely name, by whom your free salvation came. And one of the hymns we sing is, O come, let us adore Him, right? That writer knew something about adoring, about he had adoration, brethren, for Jesus because he, the writer of those hymns, brethren, they knew there was a problem. And they knew that God promised that Redeemer would come. And they knew that He came, and He came with a purpose to save His people from their sins. And those hymn writers knew, brethren, that they had been pardoned. And they said, one of them said, my soul adore His lovely name, by whom thy free salvation came. And the other one said, O come, let us adore Him. Let's us, brethren, let's us right here that have presented our bodies a living sacrifice this morning, who have turned aside from the things of the world and come to God's house, let's adore Him. Let's adore Him together. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.